welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you Drama in the Cellar. Later, an audition program called Surprise Ending, but first, the Mercury Summer Theater, featuring the Mercury Theater actors. Among them, Orson Welles, Grace Matthews, Betty Gard, and a new actor to the scene at the time, Fletcher Markle, who produces, directs, and performs in this next broadcast on CBS from July 19, 1946, in the play Life with Adam.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles, your producer of a special series of broadcasts presented by the makers of Pabst Blue Ribbon, the Mercury Summer Theater of the Air. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, last week, right after signing off, we met a man from Canada who ran off a record for us, the transcription of a broadcast presented by Stage 46, that exciting radio series produced by Andrew Allen up in Toronto. We loved it, all of us in the Mercury who listened, and we figured you listeners stateside shouldn't have to miss the fun from up above the border. So, the previously announced Treasure Island goes back on the shelf to make room for a light-hearted little libel entitled Life with Adam. A sort of satire this is on somebody of a similarity almost photographic and certainly surgical to your obedient servant. In other words, the hero of tonight's story is me. But I refuse to admit it to the extent of playing the part myself. No, I'm just going to sit back in the control room and make myself comfortable as possible under the circumstances. When lampooning a contemporary, the neatest evasion of the libel laws, you know, is a simple switch of the victim's name by translating Alexander Walker to Sheridan Whiteside, the authors of The Man Who Came to Dinner were spared a lawsuit, although the model of the comedy could not be restrained from enacting himself in the road company. Turning the name Orson Welles into the even unlikelier Adam Bonnycastle, playwright Hugh Kemp of Canada not only scored a thundering success on the radios of our good neighbors to the north, but wins a half hour of his model's hard-won airtime without having to endure a performance of the model by the model himself. No, I definitely am not going to act myself. And no cracks, please, about how I never have. Canada's celebrated and very, very talented Fletcher Markle, who's the man who brought us the record and who created the role and who is also the show's director tonight, will be heard in what might be described as my place. Since there is no valid contribution I can make to Life with Adam beyond having posed for the original of this advertisement, I therefore yield the studio to an impersonation which, believe me, is something less than a compliment and something more than a comment.
Hello, Chester. Hi, Chubb. What are you doing?
Melting. I'm melting away.
Hello, George. Same old thing.
Yes, Miss Holliday.
Now, Evie, what is all this?
Yes, what are you doing in New York when you could be at Sneeden?
It's a long story, Chubb, but it goes in one sentence. I'm sick of the people I know. Does that sound awful?
No worse than it did the last time.
How's New York?
Dull.
Who's around?
The kids that are working.
What about you, Chubb?
Oh, nothing I haven't written about. Oh, hey, I brought something to show you. Life.
Oh, that.
A Day with Eve Holliday. Have you seen it?
They sent me a copy.
I think it's swell.
Let me see it.
The pictures are nice. Just a sec. Turn back a couple of pages.
Hmm? Oh, this? Life with Adam. Adam Bonnycastle writes, produces, acts, lectures, composes, paints.
I saw him act once.
Cute. He needs a shave.
I think he's here in town.
Oh, I see you've read this.
I had nothing to do on the train.
The 27-year-old wizard, who can do everything but add, is absolutely tireless. Fresh from a successful run in his own musical, Big Nemo, Bonnycastle is now in rehearsal with a traditional version of Richard III. He lectures twice weekly at two universities, will guest appear as Sidney Carton on the August 12th broadcast of All Star Theater.
He's super thyroid.
All Star Theater? Hey, that Betty show, he's a sponsor. Do you want to go, huh?
Might be something to do.
Heavens, not me.
I'll get tickets. Do you want to ask anybody?
Let's go alone.
Oh, I forgot you're sick of people.
How about this? Adam Bonnycastle rejected the agency's adaptation of A Tale of Two Cities. Did a new stylized version himself.
I see him, foremost of just judges and honored men,
bringing a boy of my name with a forehead that I know and golden hair to this.
Hey, he's all right. What do you think, Dee?
He needs a haircut.
No, I wouldn't mind an evening with that boy.
Not my type.
I hear him tell the child my story with a tender and a faltering voice. It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest I go to than I have ever known. Cities, starring Adam Bonnycastle as Sidney Carton. Our sponsor wishes to thank Mr. Bonnycastle for taking time out from his production of Shakespeare's Richard III to appear on tonight's All-Star Theater.
Let's get out of here. There are too many people.
Oh, stop being so blasé. I think it's exciting. That's what I think.
It's cool in here. Half of my clothes are still at Sneed.
You look beautiful. Gosh, that tan alone is enough.
Come on, I can plow through the crowd. Excuse me.
I'd like to, but I couldn't possibly make it.
Mr. Bonnycastle, there are people on all the phones.
Take messages, please, will you? Jenkins! Where's Jenkins?
Here I am.
Take a note, will you? Page 18, Richard. Subjective approach. I'll know what that means. Remind me.
Yes, Mr. Bonnycastle.
Mr. Bonnycastle, your elevator's waiting.
I'll be right there.
Here's the producer, Mr. Bonnycastle.
Well, Mr. Bonnycastle, beautifully played. It was a real pleasure to produce, a real pleasure.
I don't know why.
Mr. Bonnycastle, you're due at rehearsal at Richard.
I'm coming right away. I have an idea for Buckingham's costume. Tell Forrest to see me at breakfast.
Breakfast is booked. You can drive over to the university with you.
Mr. Bonnycastle, I'm Chubb Horton, my father.
Mr. Bonnycastle, long distance wants you. It's Hollywood.
It's that ridiculous woman. I can't talk to her.
Mr. Bonnycastle, my father.
I forgot to tell you, the car won't be ready till tomorrow.
Get an ambulance, will you? I can't stand taxis.
Mr. Bonnycastle, my father.
Yes, little girl, what is it about your father? Does he want to act?
I'm Chubb Horton. My father sponsors this program.
Why?
I don't know either.
It's perfectly dreadful.
May I present Eve Holliday, Mr. Bonnycastle?
How do you do?
Hello. Jenkins, I like the fellow who read the Sentry. Get his name, will you?
Come on, Chubb. You've met the boy wonder.
Mr. Bonnycastle, I have a car right out front. I'd be glad to drive
you. Thank you. That's very kind. Very kind.
Chubb, I'll meet you somewhere afterwards.
Oh, you. Don't be a prima donna. Come for a nice drive. Come on, Jenkins. Goodbye, kiddies. I love you all. Quite, thank you. Very pleasant.
How about you, Eve?
I will be soon. How far is the theater?
Oh, bear up, Miss Holliday.
Jenkins, this child doesn't admire me. What's the matter, miss? Do you want to be an actress?
I do not.
Thank heavens. What were you doing there tonight? You're much too fashionable to be interested in radio.
I was trapped into it.
So was I.
May I ask a question, Mr. Bonnycastle?
Of course.
Are you really as unbearable as you seem?
I don't know. Jenkins, am I as unbearable as I seem?
Sometimes, Bonnie boy, sometimes you're a prize. And at other times, you're a dear.
Tonight, I'm a prize. What about you? Are you really the empty shell you seem?
Eve is a darling. You leave her alone.
You like her, huh? What do you like about her?
Everything. She's wonderful. She has looks, style, social position.
She spends too much time dressing.
Why don't you get your hair cut?
Eve's trouble is that she's bored.
Ah, bored. That's wonderful. What are you bored about?
You at the moment, also the summer. I'd forgotten how dull New York is in the summer.
New York is exciting. You are dull.
Let's not discuss me.
What do you mean by dull?
Everybody's away. No good parties.
No good parties. What a mind you must have, my butterfly. No wonder you wear dark glasses.
I'll bet you have full-length mirrors on your walls.
You're stealing my line.
The theater's just around the corner. We'll get out here.
All right, I'll stop on the other side.
Excuse me.
I enjoyed the play, Mr. Bonnycastle. See you again, I hope.
Thanks very much, Chubbin. You too. What did you say your name was?
I didn't.
She's Eve Holliday.
Eve Holliday. Nice. Miss Holliday, you have good legs. Jenkins, I like the pretty girl.
Well, Eve, what did you think of him?
who?
Adam Bonnycastle. Who else?
Isn't he dreadful? Where's that magazine?
You're sitting on it. Don't you think he's good looking?
I suppose if you like the type. Writes, produces, acts, lectures, composes, paints.
That Miss Jenkins seemed like a nice person.
How old did you say she was?
Oh, 35.
You think she's given up hope?
Ah, no.
Born in Dayton, Ohio, Bonnycastle was doing finished paintings at the age of 5, composing at 7. He needs the mustache, though. Hello?
Adam Bonnycastle.
Adam Bonnycastle what?
This is Adam speaking.
Yes?
You drove me to the theater a couple of nights ago.
Yes, I remember. You were very busy.
You were very bored. Are you still bored?
At the moment, yes.
After my rehearsal tonight, I've 3 hours off. Will you meet me?
I have 3 dates.
Don't be irrelevant. I have a whole cast waiting.
Of course I won't meet you. How'd you get my private phone?
I didn't. Jenkins did. She can get anything.
Did you get your hair cut?
I have a picture magazine here, Life. It says A Day with Eve Holliday.
I've seen it.
Eve Holliday believes in glamour around the clock. She breakfasts on grapefruit and coffee wearing a beautifully designed mandarin coat of chartreuse. What a horrible waste of a life.
What are you being so useful about?
Life is a race against death.
And you hope to win?
I'll be through at midnight. Will you meet me?
Definitely not.
At the theater?
No.
Kiddies, that was a very bad dress, kiddies, but I love you all. You're little lambs. Lambkins. Do it like that in Boston and we'll all have to work in radio again. Jenkins! Jenkins, get Smith for breakfast and tell him to bring his sketchbook.
Okay, Mr. Bonnycastle. Smith for breakfast.
Adam, we're going out for smoked meat. You want to come?
Can't send one over for me, will you? I'll be here. And coffee, a quart of coffee.
Adam! Bonnie!
What is it, Jenkins?
Someone down here to see you.
Huh? Oh, look who it is. Didn't expect you. You see the dress?
I just came in.
If you'll excuse me, I haven't slept this week.
Thanks, Miss Jenkins.
Okay, Jenkins. Quits for tonight. In the morning.
Night, Bonnie.
So, you didn't expect me.
I never expect a woman.
Where are we going?
I have to get this stuff off my face.
Do you do your own makeup?
Yes, always. I'm an expert. You wear too much.
Ha!
That's a horrible mouth. I'll fix
it. You leave it alone.
It droops. What a dismal droop.
Why did you ask me out tonight?
Why'd you accept?
What's that stuff?
Benzedrine?
You look terrible. Are you sick?
A little tired.
Why don't you go to bed?
It's habit forming.
What's the point behind all this routine?
You resent it, don't you?
Why should I resent it?
It's a challenge to your way of life.
Why do you do it?
When I was 20, it seemed a good way to be very important.
Now you're 27. Why do you keep it up?
Nothing else seems very important.
Poor man. How'd you get time off tonight?
I canceled things.
Where are we going?
Any ideas?
You want your picture taken, is that it? Autograph.
No, that isn't it.
What is it, then?
You're beautiful. You fascinate me. I have a farm about half an hour out west, Chester. Do you want to go sit on a swing?
I do not. How about a club?
I thought you were tired of that life.
I'm no farm girl.
Well, here you are sitting on a swing. You like it?
What are you doing with the farm?
I bought it for Jenkins. There are times when I haven't any money. Jenkins keeps me.
Who is Jenkins?
She used to be an actress, but it made her sick at the stomach. Now she manages me.
What are you doing next month?
Boston, Richard, and I'm starting a new radio series. And I have lectures. We're planning a new Hamlet.
When do you rest?
I take a deep breath every now and then. What are you doing in New York in August?
I got sick of the country life. I want to be useful.
You're out of character.
You dislike me, don't you?
I like you very much.
Why did you ask me out?
Why did you come?
Put you in your place.
You're not trying very hard.
No. You're not playing fair. You're being defenseless.
You disappointed?
No.
Surprised?
Yes.
Why?
That public performance of yours is a lily. You're not like that.
What am I like?
You'll hate this.
Go ahead, offend me.
You're more like Huckleberry Finn. Matt?
No. Pleased.
Why?
I didn't think you'd read Huckleberry Finn.
You'd be surprised what I've read.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Why?
Surprise is mainly an act. People aren't surprised nearly as often as they think they are.
We're being honest tonight.
I'm being honest. You're being sulky.
I'll be honest too, Adam.
What?
I want to be kissed.
Surprise, surprise, you're not going to be.
You're very cute. I thought we were being honest.
I told you about your mouth back in the dressing room.
Let's go home. I've had enough of the country. Huck.
Comes now Act Two of Life with Adam. And remember, please, any similarity to living persons is purely intentional.
Well, don't keep me waiting, Eve. What about him? What about Adam Bonnycastle? Is this really it?
Oh, Chubb, what would I do? Sit at rehearsals all the time? Besides, I'd get very tired of his shouting at Jenkins.
Jenkins!
Coming, Bonnie. What is it?
You take that other phone. I'm busy on these two.
Okay.
All right, Harry, I'll catch up with you in Boston.
Speaking.
Yes, I'd like to do it very much. Depends on how long Richard runs.
Well, Mr. Bonnycastle isn't casting just
about a month, I'd say.
Well, what have you done?
Goodbye, Harry.
Oh,
hello,
I see.
Frank. About
well,
those pictures, will you take them again?
He has so
no,
many
Frank,
things,
just pictures. If I want portraits, I'll get paintings made.
Yes,
anytime you say
I'm
between
sorry.
4 and 4:15.
Try us again. Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Jenkins, don't give me that reproachful look.
Bonnie, you're 40 minutes late.
What have you got there?
The remains of the mail.
Do I have to read it?
There are a couple you should look at. One very personal.
What does it say?
It's an invitation to a something on Saturday afternoon. Eve Holiday.
Oh.
You want to go?
We drove out to the farm the other night.
Did you have a time?
She excites me.
She's not your type.
What is my type?
Me, about 10 years ago.
She gives me a lift. That's important.
Well, go to her party. You can do your card trick.
I did a social season once. I can't stand repetition.
Maybe you'll like her little chums. The dialogue will be very bright, I'm sure.
She's not like the rest of them. She's trying to break away.
Oh, pardon my guffaw.
Jenkins, you're very sweet. I love you, you know.
I know.
You won't leave me, will you?
No, Bonnie. I'll be around.
Jenkins?
Yes?
Cancel everything between now and Monday. Rehearsals, meetings, lectures.
What's the matter, Bonnie?
Let's not be analytical. I've got to do my lines. Memory's slipping.
All right. I'll be in my office if you want me.
Fine. Flourish. A flourish, trumpets. Strike alarum, drums. Let not the heavens hear these telltale women rail on the Lord's anointed. Strike, I say! Either be patient and entreat me fair, or with the clamorous report of war, thus will I drown your exclamation.
Yes?
Hello.
Hello. Oh, it's you. Well, say something.
I can't think of anything.
Why did you call?
Jenkins told me to.
I'm busy, Adam.
What are you doing?
Chester is here. He's playing the piano.
The amateur hour. How I hate amateurs.
You're getting insulting.
I want to see you.
When did that come over you?
Just now.
I can't possibly see you.
I'll pick you up. We'll do some bars.
No.
In about half an hour.
No, I mean it.
I want you.
No. Did you get my invitation?
Yes.
Well, are you coming to the party?
I'm terribly busy. My weekend is filled.
Chester is pounding. I have to get back.
I want you.
No. Goodbye, Adam.
Jenkins!
What is it?
I feel fine, thank you. Very bright. Slave, I have set my life upon a cast, and I will stand the hazard of the die. I think there be 6 Richmonds in the field. 5 have I slain today instead of him. A horse, my kingdom for a horse. You. Hey, you, how do I get out to the garden?
Right through there. But yell bingo before you do.
Thank you.
Look. Look, what is done cannot be now amended. Men shall deal unadvisedly sometimes, which after hours give leisure to repent. If I did take the kingdom from your sons, to make amends, I'll give it to your daughter.
Hi, Adam!
Huh?
Come on over. Over here.
Oh, Chubb.
That?
King Richard, what are you doing out here by yourself?
Getting my breath. This is some party for August.
Who are these people? Eve's friends?
Some are. Some just came along.
How do you tell them apart?
You don't like us very much, do you?
I don't lump you all together.
We're not really like this. A lot of it's just an act. Trouble with us is that we're bored.
nuts.
All right. But you have to understand that if you want to understand Eve.
Chubb, you seem like a good fellow. Why don't you stop this nonsense?
What do you want me to do, sit at home? Tried it once, didn't like it.
Eve doesn't seem too ecstatic at the moment.
Eve gets moods.
Hmm.
Besides, you're not supposed to be out in the garden when she's inside. Oh, there's Joan. I'd better go in.
You mean there's another one?
Really, it's a darling winter place. It's stone, has four huge bedrooms, one smaller one, an enormous living room, wood paneled, and the cutest furniture.
It was as nice as our place last year.
Yes, I think so. And Peggy has promised to find us a maid. A job, darling.
It's about time.
That sounds wonderful, June. June, this is Adam Bonnycastle, June Delapont.
Eve, darling, he's cute. How did you get him?
Madam, take your arms from around my neck.
He's shy. Oh, isn't that darling?
June has found us a house for the winter.
What's the matter with this house?
A winter place in the Laurentian.
Oh, that's wonderful. I hate the thought of being stuck in town all winter.
What do you do up there?
We ski, silly boy. We ski.
I don't think I'd be much of a skier.
What's that got to do with it?
The man's human. He's actually human. He doesn't ski.
Did you see anybody else?
Yes, Peg told me that Dottie is taking that little blue place. You know, the one that looks like French pastry.
Chester!
Adam, don't shout.
Chester, if you must play that, for heaven's sakes, give it a reasonable expression.
Don't push.
Now, Chester, watch. Listen. See, like this. Like this. 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 You get it? You get anything?
No.
It does sound better, Chester.
I'm going home.
Chester.
I feel like singing. What feel like singing? Adam, do you know Row, Row, Row Your Boat?
I do not.
Do you know it's the talk of the town?
Will you stop clinging to me?
Gosh, you're disagreeable. Don't you know any popular music? I mean, it's Saturday. How about onesie, twosie?
Chester! Chester, wait for me.
Adam, isn't that awful? Adam! Adam, if you leave now, we're all through.
All through. We were all through before we ever met. Onesie, twosie, it's the talk of the town.
No, I'm very sick now. I'm upset.
So, you fell off your good behavior. Bonnie, you do learn the hard way.
Chubb, the little girl, a fat one, turned out to be a campfire singer.
I could have told you that.
There was a girl there, not a girl, a creature. If you wrote her into a script, people would say it was corny. She kept talking about a house.
Well, what about the weekend? I canceled everything. Do you want me to uncancel?
Might as well try to save tomorrow. This evening's gone. I'll work by myself.
All right, I'll check with you first thing in the morning. Take it easy, Greasy. It's a long,
thanks
long
for
drive.
Coming over. Do you want a cab? Charlie! Oh, I forgot he went out for the night.
I'd rather walk. Night.
Night. As I intend to prosper and repent, so thrive I in my dangerous attempt of hostile arms. Myself confound. Heaven and fortune bar me happy hours. Day, yield me not thy light, nor night thy rest. Oh, as I intend to prosper and repent, so thrive I in my dangerous attempt. You change your mouth.
You haven't changed your manners.
No, come in.
What are you doing?
Rehearsing.
It's Saturday night, didn't you know?
So I heard. Where's your party?
You behaved dreadfully this afternoon.
Why do you bother with those people? They're unbelievably unimportant.
They're my friends.
What's the matter? Can't you interest any real people?
Oh, stop acting. Who decorated this place?
Nobody. I hate decorators. It just grew. Parts of it are still empty. Who was that June character?
June's a darling when you know her.
I'll never find out.
Who painted this portrait?
I did.
Who is it?
Shirley. My wife.
You were married?
When I was 20. For a year.
What happened?
I needed more people. So did Shirley.
Where is she now?
In San Francisco, I think, enjoying a very successful second marriage.
Are you in love with her?
What are you doing here?
Oh, Adam, Adam, Adam. That's what I came for. I should go.
Why, do you want to?
No. No, no, no. There's no sense in this.
Since when have you tried to make sense?
When we're alone. Good. More, more, more. When are you leaving?
In a week, I'll be away a year.
Why so long?
Richard closes New York. I'm going to the West Coast. Want to come?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't it?
I never knew what incompatibility meant until I ran into you.
I suppose Miss Jenkins is going with me.
I couldn't live without her.
Will you think of me?
Not for long. Another winter with your little chums in the north and you'll be undistinguishable.
I want the winter. We could have fun if you stayed.
Yes, couldn't we? We could all get suntanned.
You don't laugh enough. It would do you good to have some fun.
My dear child, I have more fun in a minute than you have in a week.
Don't call me a child.
When you were 17, somebody convinced you that you were very important. You've carefully preserved the illusion and the age.
Adam, 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 I want to be kissed. Adam...
Oh, this is impossible, ridiculous.
We have nothing in common, have we?
Absolutely nothing.
I know it couldn't work, I know that.
Nobody's fault, just a difference of background, of temperament.
We'd be miserable.
Completely. Perhaps if we'd met in another lifetime.
Under totally different
we'd have a magnificent week, and then we'd run into that party crowd of yours.
Oh, a week of rehearsal.
Not hating each other.
Really, hate. Oh, it would be impossible, quite impossible.
Oh, but let's try it, shall we?
Shall we? Darling.
Love.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Life with Adam. And for this unabashed assault upon us, the Mercury leased out its studio tonight to an all-star cast of talented Canadians. Grace Matthews was Eve, John Draney was Chester, Hedley Rennie was, among other things, the waiter and producer. Patricia Judrey was Chubb, and there was Mr. Fletcher Markle, whose excruciating portrait of your producer. Your producer is not likely to live down. A few Mercury refugees did just manage to nudge up to the microphone. There was that old maestro Bernard Herrmann, for instance, who conducted the original music, which was written by Lucio Agostini for the original Canadian broadcast. There was Mercedes de Cambridge for a minute there, June, and sharing the top billing with Mr. Markle, a Mercury veteran who's added stardom on Broadway to her position as one of radio's most highly regarded artists, our own Miss Betty Gard. She was Jenkins. And now, before telling you about next week, a word from Jim Amici.
Let me remind you to be patient with your dealer when, occasionally these days, he's unable to supply you with all the Pabst Blue Ribbon you'd like. He's doing his best, you can be sure of that. Yes, and here's something else you can be sure of. Every single bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon you do get will, as always, be the happy blending of never less than 33 fine brews. Yes, every foaming, frosty glass you enjoy will, as always, have that famous Pabst Blue Ribbon flavor. Not too heavy, not too light, but fresh, clean, sparkling, with the real beer taste coming through the way you like it. So keep asking for blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon. And now here's a very important message from Secretary Anderson of the Department of Agriculture. Mr. Anderson says, quote, "The immediate problem that faces a war-torn world is food. For after this week of spade work and education comes the constant performance through autumn that should result in making this year the greatest season of home food preservation in history," unquote. And now, Mr. Wells.
Next week, a real thriller dealer, Moat Farm, by Norman Corwin. Until then, speaking for my sponsors and for all of us in the Mercury, I remain, as always, obediently yours.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Mercury Summer Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 19, 1946, a CBS broadcast featuring actor Fletcher Markle. He was popularly known in the States as the Canadian version of Orson Welles and would go on to produce his own one-hour dramatic program on CBS called Studio One. You are listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for an audition broadcast of a program called Surprise Ending, directed by the future director at the time of Murder at Midnight and a long, successful run on Suspense, Anton M. Leder. What you'll hear next will take the curtain back a little bit on what it was like for program directors of a radio station to consider a program for regular broadcast. This was released on July 29, 1945, the story, The Canceled Resurrection.
This is William Harrison speaking. I'm here on behalf of Richard Diggs, Tony Leder, and Joseph Ruskell, producer, director, and associate editor, respectively, of Radio Reader's Digest. They are offering a new program for your consideration. During the final cycle of the Digest, a new feature was incorporated called Surprise Endings. This feature excited so much audience interest and acclaim that Diggs, Leader, and Ruskell became convinced that therein lay the material and substance for a complete half-hour series to be called Surprise Endings. A surprise package in every story. So certain were they of the inherent possibilities of such a show that they have obtained the rights to it. Now, before we further discuss the merits of this new full-length show, let's listen to two of the short spots taken directly off the air that gave birth to the idea. Surprise Ending. than fiction. And the best example we know of this is an underworld story, orchestrated to a theme from Il Trovatore. Part of it is reported by the underworld, and the other part by the Chicago newspaper, which called it the canceled resurrection. The whole truth will probably never be known, but here it is, as best we can piece it together for you. Surprise ending and all. The Chicago police have finally cracked a savage outbreak of holdups and robberies. The leader, a man known as Il Davolo, has been sentenced to death. And also sentenced to death was the man who betrayed him, his henchman, named Viana. Viana was to be hanged first. And the night he went to the gallows...
Hey, Corelli, listen. Viana's singing, huh? Say, it is Viana. Singing on his way to the gallows. Isn't that kind of queer?
Yeah. As if he thought he was going to get a pardon or something.
Well, he ain't. Enough to give you the creeps.
The newspapers duly noted that Viana, the squealer, went to the gallows singing the Miserere. But the fact was quickly forgotten by the papers, the public, and the police. Until one day, a few weeks later, the prison detectives heard the same song being sung by the man Viana had betrayed. The gang leader, Il Diavolo, as his mobsters called him.
Hey, you're rather cheerful this morning, aren't you, Diavolo?
Ah, my good friend, Detective Corelli. So you are in the death house too, huh?
Just passing through. I'll be leaving by a different door, and you will.
Hey, you see, I can laugh at your little joke.
You're pretty cheerful, aren't you, singing that song?
That song? What's wrong with that song?
Didn't you know? Viana sang it the night he was executed.
It's a beautiful melody. Even when a rat sings it.
Where do you get the strength to sing it?
Strength? I am very strong. They treat condemned men very well here in this jail.
I heard you've been starving yourself. Lost 30 pounds.
I'm going to die. Why must I eat?
No reason. I was just wondering offhand why you're so chipper on practically no food at all.
What do you want, Corelli?
Easy, deal. Easy. I'm not the kind to rub it into a guy behind bars. Don't eat. Sing all you want. But I still think it's funny you're singing the same song as the guy who put you...
And so Il Diavolo continued to sing more and eat less as the night of his execution neared. And at last the night arrived, and the condemned man's actions were more than ever the subject of speculation down at Chicago's police headquarters.
You wouldn't recognize him, Corelli. So I hear, Captain. Lost 50 pounds, the boys say.
60.
60?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Still gets me why he's deliberately starved himself. Still sings that same darn song.
Police headquarters.
Hello, police headquarters.
Yes, police headquarters.
Listen to me carefully. Diavolo's friends are going to grab his body right after the hanging and revive him.
What's that?
Yes, and they know they can do it because they did it once before with Viana.
They revived Viana?
You must get to the jail before they carry out Il Diavolo's body.
Who is this?
A friend of Viana's.
A friend of Viana's? Wait a minute. Wait. Hello. Hello. She hung up.
A friend of Viana's, a girl's voice saying, Diavolo's friends are going to grab his body right after the hanging and revive him. They know they can do it because they did it for Viana. It sounded mad, insane. But good policemen know that much of life is mad and insane. A crazy, meaningless joke, though it might be, they threw a cordon of police around the jail. And after a long period of patient waiting in the dark shadows, they saw a long black hearse turn into the alley that led to the jail. They ordered it to stop, and inside found hot water bottles, heating pads, hypo syringes, and a pull motor. Equipment for bringing a man back to life. That much of the story was reported by the newspapers. But what had happened to Viana trickled back, piece by piece, from the underworld. The underworld reported that the night Viana was hanged, His body was taken away ostensibly for burial, but actually...
Well, Doc, what's a good word?
Quiet, Joe. Doc's taking Vienna's pulse.
Hey, you mean Vienna's really alive?
Quiet.
Well, Doc?
His pulse is much stronger, Joe.
You mean you really brought this rat back to life?
Life never left him.
His neck wasn't broke by the rope, huh?
If it had been, I wouldn't have been working over him for the last hour.
Doc, his hips are moving.
Look, Doc, he's trying to talk. What's he trying to say?
Quiet.
Don't get bossy, Doc. The Avalos paying you plenty for this little experiment.
Where am I?
There now. You mustn't talk.
Holy smoke. He can talk. The guy who got hung can talk.
He's not out of the woods yet, Joe. Give him time.
Kind of careless, ain't you, Fiona?
How do you mean, Joe?
Leaving your door unlocked, just hollering come in when somebody knocks.
Oh.
It ain't healthy for you to have it known you're alive. Il Diavolo's paid a lot of dough.
Joe, that's what I can't understand.
What?
Well, when you got word to me in prison that you were going to do this, it made me so happy I wanted to sing, but I don't understand. Why would Il Diavolo go to all the trouble to bring me to life again?
Well, I guess it's time you heard. You feeling strong enough to take it?
Oh, yeah. Feeling fine, Joe. Fine.
Glad to see your girl last night.
Was never so happy.
Yeah, good, good. She's a nice kid. Well, it's this way, Vienna. Il Diavolo got figuring that maybe you were sorry for ratting on him. You was sorry, wasn't you?
Oh, Joe, I didn't mean to tell the cops.
I know. All of us ain't made tough enough to stand a grilling.
Yeah, that's it. I couldn't help it. I couldn't...
Don't take on, kid. It's all right. Il Diavolo understood. Then he figured you could still do him a favor to make up for it. You see, he once read about guys in Europe who'd been hung and lived to tell about it. He's got a long memory. Remembers it, see? So he tipped us off from the clink to get Doc and try the experiment with you. Because you're a lightweight, see? He figures maybe you'll go down to the trap and the noose will jerk tight and choke you, but break your neck,
no,
see?
Please don't, Joe. Please. Oh, it was awful.
Well, anyway, that's what we did. We proved the lightweight maybe doesn't get his neck broke. So Il Diavolo starts starving himself. He's already lost 60 pounds. We think his chances are pretty good. Don't you?
Wait a minute. You mean you're going to try the same thing with him? Tonight?
It's gotta be tonight, Fiona. That's when they're hanging him.
And got everything all set, huh?
Yeah. Everything but one thing.
No. What are you gonna do with that gun? I'm
gonna take care of a rat.
No, but Joe.
Il Diavolo wants to sing tonight when he walks to the news, just like you did. But he won't feel like singing if a rat like you is still alive, Fiona.
What are you gonna do?
Throw him in the lake, boys, and make it snappy. No good rap.
As Diavolo walked to the gallows that night, he knew that a rat had been taken care of. But he never knew that his specially equipped hearse had been taken care of, too, by the police. This, says Chicago's Underworld, is the true story of Diavolo's plot to cheat death on the gallows. A story orchestrated with a theme from Il Trovatore. Little side street bar and grill just off Times Square. where a songwriter with a Broadway hit on his hands and a bad case of jitters has just flagged Joe, the bartender.
Joe.
Yeah?
Give me another straight. Make it double this time, will
you? Yeah, Jimmy.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, what's that fella doing over there by the jukebox?
Him? Oh, he's just another customer putting a nickel in a slot.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of.
You ought to be proud, Jimmy. All the time they play nothing but that number you wrote. They don't want nothing else. I want you to listen now. Always the same it is. Strictly from heaven, my baby's in my arms.
Oh, I give up. I just can't duck it.
Hey, Jimmy, watch out. You're spilling your drink.
Oh, wait a minute. I'd better pick it up with both hands.
With shakes like that, you ought to see a doctor.
There's nothing a doctor could do for me, Joe. I'm being followed, hunted, tracked down, pursued.
Being followed, huh? Who's following you, Jimmy?
Oh, it's that song. It's weird. It ain't human. I never should have wrote it down.
Why not? What's the matter with the song?
Nothing the matter with the song, Joe. It's what they're calling me. The Tin Pan Alley Stephen Foster.
So that's what they're calling you now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what hurts. Of all the guys they could have thought of, they got a pick on Stephen Foster.
What's the matter with Foster?
Foster was a genius, that's all. Swanee River, my old Kentucky home, genie with a light brown hair. Only I ain't no genius. That's what's making this drink shake in my hands.
You better have another. Here, this one's on the house.
Thanks, Joe.
I'll have one with you. Here's how.
Yeah.
Now, this Foster guy, what's he got to do with the way you feel?
All I tell you, Joe. See, that song has made me 30 grand in the last couple of months. And you know what Foster died with? You know how much dough he had?
No, how much?
He died in a free ward over at Bellevue Hospital. And he had 38 cents in his pockets. Yeah, the guy that wrote Old Folks at Home. 38 cents and a slip of paper on which he wrote down his last words. The title of a new song he wanted to write, Dear Friends and Gentle Hearts. And that's as far as he got.
Don't let it get you down, Joe. Those things happen and the guy's been dead a long time now, ain't he?
Oh, 70, 80 years.
Well, so why worry?
Listen, I got to get this out of my system sometime. I might as well spill it to you.
Go ahead, Joe, spill it.
Only don't blame me if it gives you the horrors like it give me. The way it is, like you said. Before I wrote this song, I'm a bum.
I didn't say you
no,
were a bum.
No, it's all right. It's okay, Joe. I'm a bum. I'm living in a lousy little room and house down on the Bowery. Number 15 it is. I got no more future than a Jap flyer. Since a kid, I got the crazy notion I'm a songwriter. And it don't matter that nothing ever comes out, because always I figure there's one great tune locked up inside of me. And I'm still figuring that way when I hit the Bowery. It ain't what you might call an inspiration. From dawn to midnight, I get loud radios and hollering and scrapping in 10 languages. So every day I wait till about midnight, when everything's quiet, and I start into work. Maybe after a while I might have hit on something. The only trouble is the guy upstairs from me, a guy with a piano. Right away, I know what it is. It's a guy working with a piano. He's a songwriter, just like I'm a songwriter, trying to get at that one great tune inside of him. Only he can't. He gets nowhere. And me, I can't concentrate any more on my own work. When that piano above me begins, I sit up tense and listen. He strikes an opening chord and holds it. Then I run up the scale. He repeats that last note. He dangles it. I'm on my feet, pacing the floor. By now, the strain is killing me. The guy has got to find the next note. Only he can't find it. So he waits a while. And he starts all over with another chord. This goes on night after night. After a while, I get the idea this guy in a room upstairs has got it in for me. I never even seen him, wouldn't even know the guy. But I figure he's found out about how I was going to write that one great tune, and so he's sitting up there torturing me and laughing to himself. One night, I know I can't hold on long. I get to looking down a ventilator shaft. It's 4 flights down. It's high enough. I'm pacing up and down the floor. The strain's getting worse and worse inside. I'm ready to jump out of the window any minute. And all of a sudden, the piano stops. I sit down on the edge of the bed and wait. It's about 3 in the morning. I'm still waiting when I hear the clock strike 5:30. Now, this is getting worse than before. He's never stopped this long. I lie there tense, waiting for him to start again. I can't hear a sound. I feel any minute something inside my head is going to snap from the strain. And then it happens. He starts again. Suddenly, I'm on my feet, listening. He starts to run. I hold my breath. He goes right on. He don't stop. He's over the run, into the melody. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, the music fills the room and floods out over the rooftops. It seems to swell right up to the sky. Pouring it out, and I just stagger around, not just listening, but breathing it in and walking through it and feeling it on my skin, and all the time I'm laughing and crying and nodding my head like an idiot. It's music like I never heard before. Da da da. Stood there, dazed, happy. And then all of a sudden, I knew I had to see the guy. I got to tell him I heard it. I got to look at the guy who struck that melody. So I slam out of my room and bound up them rickety wooden stairs and knock at the door of the room. No answer. No light showing. I knock louder. There's still no answer. I can't wait any longer. I back up and then slam right up against the door. There wasn't nobody in that room. Not even a piano. Nothing at all. The room where the music came from was empty.
Listen, fella, you better have another drink. Maybe we both better have another drink.
Thanks, John. So, maybe you see now why I got it bad.
Well, what happened then?
Well, so the landlady comes pounding up the stairs with a couple of cops, and they find me standing there breathing hard and staring into that empty room. So she explains to the cops there ain't nobody living on this floor at all. It hasn't been for years. Me, I get out of there fast. All I can think about is the tune. I can't get the tune off my mind.
The same tune everybody's playing now over the radio and all, this tune on the jukebox?
Yeah, strictly from heaven. Finally, there was nothing to do but write the words.
Yeah, but what has this here Stephen Foster got to do with it?
Well, that's what I was going to tell you, Joe. You see, down on the Bowery, I lived in this dump at number 15.
Yeah, sure, number 15.
Well, listen, Joe. Yesterday, somebody sends me a book about Stephen Foster. It says Stephen Foster was living on the top floor of number 15, the Bowery, before he died in that hospital ward at Bellevue.
The 2 10-minute surprise endings you have just heard were weird Mysterioso stories. But the new series of half-hour-length twisters will include suspenseful comedies, romances, and straight dramas, each with its surprise ending. Further, these expanded stories will allow for more scope, complications, and development. Surprise endings will have a special opening format of its own, designed to tease the curiosity of the audience and challenge it to guess the surprise ending. We guarantee at least one shock ending to every story. And often there will be double or even triple twists. The producers of surprise endings suggest the possibility of adding a star to the program. Their selection would depend on two considerations. Either you would want an actor who has been identified with the suspenseful, for instance, Joseph Cotton, who would narrate and play the leading role, or a man with a literary identification, such as Clifton Fadiman, who would comment on the source material and act as narrator. And here is a further idea which you may wish to consider, an idea for audience participation. At the end of each week's program, the announcer would give a 30-second summary of next week's plot with the surprise ending omitted. Listeners would be invited to send in surprise endings of their own. And the best one would be used in the dramatization, with a prize awarded for it and the name of the winner announced. Thus, surprise endings could be based on prize endings from the listening audience. Surprise Endings is offered as a package by Tony Leader, director of Words at War, Radio Reader's Digest, and Now It Can Be Told. Richard Diggs, producer of Radio Reader's Digest, former editor of The Adventures of the Thin Man and Woodbury Hollywood Playhouse. And Joseph Rusko, associate editor of Radio Reader's Digest and writer of Camel Caravan, Theater of Romance, Cavalcade of America, and others. Surprise Endings, a surprise package in every show.
Surprise Ending, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 29th, 1945, an audition recording for a series that would never really come to pass. And that brings to a close this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.